Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. On today's show, we'll hear about an unlikely place to get small electronics repaired and learn more about the key to being happy. Personal technology is getting cheaper, better, and smaller. But have you ever tried getting a broken cell phone or MP3 player fixed? KBIA's Scott Pham gave it a shot and found that with some of our electronics, you can't bring them to a computer repair person anymore. You bring them to a jeweler.
Wes Morris has been repairing home and business computers in Columbia since 2003. In tech terms, it's a pretty long time, and his business hasn't grown with it.
My personal experience, it seems like a slow decline. There's a tendency for the miniaturization to prohibit repair since the initial investment in the equipment is nominal in comparison.
Got that? Of course you didn't. But basically, the computer repairman faces a twofold problem. First, a lot of tech is so inexpensive, it's cheaper to replace than to fix. Second, even if you wanted to fix it, a lot of the circuitry is just too small to be worked on by hand. Morris isn't sure where he fits in this new world of computing.
It would be my opinion that over time that my entire industry, if you will, it will go the way of the TV repair guy.
Well, I also repair TVs.
That's Mike Bellman. He mostly repairs computers. Bellman's also taken notice of the miniaturization of technology, but says it doesn't really affect his own business.
Most people are buying laptops instead of desktops now, and the most common hardware repair that I've been involved in is either a damaged power connector or a cracked screen on an LCD. Because those types of repairs are repairable, it doesn't reduce the amount of help that people need.
But when you're talking about actual broken circuitry, well, Bellman can't always help you. I called him myself a little while ago when I managed to break a USB drive that had a lot of unsaved work on it.
Those types of connections are pretty small, so I referred them to a jeweler.
That's right, a jeweler. Because when you've broken something that intricate, you don't need someone who's good at technology. You need someone who's good at small.
Let's see. So I took it out of the casing.
I went to visit Gary B. Robinson. He owns a shop in Columbia called
Gary B. Robinson Jewelers.
Robinson sells rings, earrings, bracelets, but he's also something of a repairman, too.
We have some of the latest equipment as far as like the laser welder and CAD-CAM designing and milling system. We fix bridges for dentists, your USB port or eyeglasses.
While his assistant uses the laser on my USB drive, Robinson shows me his AutoCAD system.
Yeah, and then you get into, you can set stones in this.
It's a complex and expensive setup that allows Robinson to design entirely new pieces in 3D on his computer, then manufacture a mold out of that wax, and finally cast that wax in silver, gold, or whatever the customer needs. By focusing on repair and custom manufacture, Robinson has done pretty well for himself in a down economy. But it's not simple economics that keeps this business going. It has to do with the personal relationship we have with these objects.
Well, you know, with information, it's not like you can go buy another thing with that information on there. So they want to try to fix things. But, you know, even when it's not as technological as that, they might have a favorite pair of glasses or something, or they don't make the glasses anymore. I mean, old jewelry, you know, they don't want to. It's worn out. I've had some people where I tell them, I said, you know, it's going to break again. Well, I love this piece. My husband gave me, you know, whatever. There's some story with it.
Personal technology is inexpensive and replaceable. If we attach value to it, it's not always real-world, tangible value. Sometimes we treat it more like jewelry, like something special.
Part of it's the economy, but a lot of it is sentiment. And that's what drives this business, whether times are good or bad. Jewelry is a really emotional product, and there's a lot of emotions and sentiment tied up in it. It's not just metal. You know, metal and stones. And so that's where people come in, and rather than get something new, they want to preserve it, restore it, that type of thing.
As for my USB drive, I never did get that data off of it. But I got over it. And then, with a little effort, I replaced it. For KBIA, I'm Scott Pham.
An MU psychology professor has put a tactical spin on happiness. Dr. Ken Sheldon recently published what he calls the happiness model, which is a psychological tool that might help some people improve their emotions. Dr. Sheldon sat down with KBIA's Matt Vito to discuss his research. He began by talking about something he calls hedonic adaptation.
This just means that whatever good things happen to us, we tend to get used to them. We start to take them for granted. We don't notice them anymore. And once that happens, they won't affect us, and we'll fall back to where we started before that thing happened, that change happened. So we have this model that we constructed through a lot of conversations and research that basically says, yes, hedonic adaptation occurs, but there's ways to thwart it, to keep it from happening. And it basically boils down to whatever that positive change was in your life, you have to keep interacting with it. You have to keep deriving positive experiences from it on a daily basis. So if you got a new boyfriend or a new car, either way, you should be doing things with that person or car on a daily basis that bring you pleasure and joy. The other way to do it is to avoid wanting even more or better of the change. And this is another manifestation of adaptation. We get used to it. It's the new baseline. And now we're ready for something even better. And so we need to find ways to resist that process as well. And according to the model, the way we do that is we pause, we take stock, we appreciate, we feel grateful for the change. And it's hard to both be grateful, you know, and appreciative of something and want even more and better of it. You tend to be content with and satisfied with it.
So this is really, it's very relative to the person. So I imagine another important aspect would be to not look at someone else. I mean, you can't be envious and have this model work.
You know, a big part of these raising aspirations, I want even more of his time, or I want him to look better, or whatever, is comparing to what other people have. There's a lot of research saying that social comparisons, upward social comparisons, people who have more than me, is not very good for one's happiness.
Where do you see this being employed? Is there any aspect that this could fall into training or things like that?
A lot of times people think that, okay, if I get the next, the best, the more expensive version, then I'll get that rush and I'll be back where I want to be. So a lot of times overconsumption is like an addiction, looking for the next fix. So we think this is very relevant to people who are struggling with overspending. This model provides tools for getting the most out of the money you've already spent.
That was KBIA's Matt Vito speaking with MU psychology professor Ken Sheldon. And that's it for this week's Under the Microscope. Just a reminder that you can listen to this episode and others on our website, kbia.org.